so we don't have to give you another one. How many have never had a sheet with an outline that needs one? Raise your hand. Okay. Brother Gary, can we make sure that we get the folks that need an outline back there? Not that one, Fred, the outline. Yes, it's got the outline of what we do, why we go, and how we go, and all that. That'll be a blessing. Get that in their hands. Amen. And Brother Sam, are we on with the clicker or are we manual? Oh, it's not back there. I did not. Can't see why it would be up here. No, sir. Hopefully it didn't get vacuumed up someplace.
We've been digging around. We haven't found it.
Okay, amen. Okay, amen.
We have an idea.
We have an idea. All right, so if you didn't get a handout, go ahead and raise your hand. You'll get one. And Brother Scott, you've got a visitor. You want to introduce us to your visitor? Brother Scott, yes.
Yes, this is my youngest son, Brian.
Brian. All right, Brian, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Meet you.
And now, have you met people?
Nope.
I know we've met Brent, but we met some of the others.
Brent.
Okay, amen. Good to have you with us today, sir. Amen, all right. Not yet, we'll get that one a little bit. Okay. You need your sheet, you've got your sheet. And we're continuing with our soul winning training. Want to make sure that when you go out to talk with someone, you can go out from a position of knowledge and not ignorance. And you don't have the fear of telling someone about your Savior and your faith in Christ. Amen. So trying to make sure we do this very succinctly and easily to get you more acclimated to sharing the gospel. Amen. Everybody that needs one has one, right? And it simply says soul winning training on it, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's got an outline on it. We're on point number three right now. So take your Bibles with me. Stand tonight. We're going to read the going verse, which is Matthew 28, 19. So go ahead and stand. 28, 19, Matthew. Matthew 28, 19. And we're going to read our jumping verse here, our go verse, if you would. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. No matter how much we talk about soul winning and how much we talk about doing it, there's still that inhibition to do it, reservation to do it, because sometimes we don't feel that we're equipped to do it, or we don't know what we're going to say, or we don't know what they're going to say, and that's fine. That's going to be there. But we still need to be ready to give an answer when someone asks us of the reason of the hope that's in us. And that's why we have this training, so that you can feel more equipped to give the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Let's read these all together. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, thank you for the time to be here. I pray that you would use this time through us, Lord, instructionally, that we may be better equipped to handle the gospel message, giving it to others that they might be gloriously saved, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Thank you that you cared enough about us to deposit the gospel in us, and we have that treasure now in these earthen vessels that we call our bodies. Help us to glorify you through the usage of our bodies by giving the gospel wherever we may go. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the meeting tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. If you've got your sheet there, you notice we have down there why we go. And it says we're commanded to go. And witnessing is not a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual command. It's something that we do. Several verses listed there, A, B, C, D, and E. All gospels talk about going, so we know that we should go. But then there's another reason that's not listed there that I talked about last time. We also go because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love God, and we want to be obedient to his commands. And also, someone cared enough about us to come to us. And so we love God. We want to be obedient to him. Someone cared enough to come to us. And so we want to make sure that we go to someone else. And so those are reasons why we go, other than just the obedience to Christ, which, by the way, If God said go, we wouldn't need any other reason anyway. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you tell your child to do something, do they need another reason to obey you? No, they don't need any other reason. Say, well, do it because I love you. No, you do it because I said do it. Period. Amen. So when we talk about that, that's a blessing. Andrew, you had a question? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Amen. So, all right. So while we go, we're commanded to go. And then number two, when we go, we have the capability to go. Flip over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. We have everything that we need to go when we go. So God is going to make sure that you're fully equipped. And Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so according to Acts 1:8, we have the capability to go. We've got the power to go. According to that verse, we have the purpose. Ye shall be witnesses. We have the place, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and we have the people in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. All those places have people in them. And so wherever we go, in other words, we have the capability to go, and we have everything that we need. And the last thing we said we need is prayer. You want to make sure that you're prayed up when you go so that the Holy Spirit can work through you. By the way, you can't win souls in your own power. The only thing you're going to do in your power is get somebody mad, get them upset, get them to kick you out or whatever. You've got to be in the Spirit of God. And by the way, if you're bold in the Spirit of God, God will use that. If you're bold in the flesh, the devil will use that. Amen. You don't want to be bold in the flesh. You want to be bold in the Spirit. And so the Bible says down there, we're going to have that power. And so we have the power, the purpose, the place, the people. And then we need that prayer, and we looked at that last time as well. And so we're going to pick up with number three. Anybody have any questions on those two? Why we go, and when we go, we have the capability to go. So now we're going to talk about how we go. We're going to talk more about our testimony when we actually go out talking to somebody, our conversation when we go, dealing with what we say and how we act. And so those things are very, very important when you go out. And by the way, I've mentioned this before. If you're going to try to win souls, make sure that you do very little to offend someone. And what's the way that we can offend someone very, very easily? Making fun of their religion. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Ms. Dawson said your breath, amen. Your breath may offend them, amen. That's true. Make sure you've got some mints. You want to make sure that you've got a pocket full of mints. That's another way we can offend. Yes, Jeremiah? Despising their sin, amen. All right. And yes, Dana? Don't tell them they're wrong, amen. By the way, do we have to tell people that they're wrong? The Bible tells them they're wrong. Now, if they're wrong, they are wrong. Okay, but we don't want to go out of our way telling them they're wrong, but the Bible will tell them that they're wrong. And then once they say, well, the Bible says that, that's what it says. Now, we know the Bible is right. If the Bible is right, then what are they? Amen. And you don't have to say it. You can make them say it. If God said this and you said that, we know God is right. Then what does that make you? Wrong? I'm glad you said it and I didn't. Amen. So you get them to say it. Yeah, Rose? Judgmental, and we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes, amen. So there are some ways that we can offend, and we don't want to do that, amen. So go to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, we're going to talk about how we go, our conversation when we go, dealing with what we say and how we act. First of all, we're just going to talk about what we say. And we say, number one, we can witness by our testimony. Acts chapter 22, Paul here is before a group of religious leaders. And Paul is going to get the opportunity to speak here, but first he's going to speak with some of the regular folk as well as he gets this opportunity. Notice Acts chapter 22, and I want you to notice, first of all, Paul identifies with a sinner. As you go out and you talk to people, you want to identify with them. Let them know that you're not arrived yet. You're not holier than them. You're not better than them. You know the only thing that you are is saved, and they're not. You're not of a better pedigree. You're not of a better lineage or anything. All the blood is still the same sinner's blood. So when you go to their house, you've got to really identify with them. Let them know, hey, look, I'm just like you. Notice what Paul says here in Acts chapter 22. When it comes down to verse number 3, Paul says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. Now notice that. Paul gives a mouthful. He's saying, you know, I was religious. I'm a Jew. I know the heritage. I come from Tarsus. I was brought up at Gamaliel, one of the religious leaders here. I was zealous. I tried to keep the law. He said, I was just like you. When you knock on somebody's door, you start witnessing, let them know. I was religious. I went to church. I was Catholic. I got baptized. I gave money to the church. I did all these things. I read my Bible. But guess what? At the end of the day, I still was lost. So you've got to identify with them just like Paul is here. He's identifying with them, letting them know, I'm not holier than you. I'm not better than you. I am no different than you. Matter of fact, I was much like you. There's only one major factor that changed in my life, which is the factor that you need, that Jesus Christ saved me. Amen. So when you talk to people, make sure you don't kind of do your nose down like this. You're a dirty sinner. Tattooed all up. Drug use. Pornography. Adulteress. Liar. Scumbag. You know, and they're going like, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. You let them know, hey, look, I was just like you. We were talking to me and Fred, went out there door knocking just Saturday. And the guy was talking about the sciences and all this. And I said, you know what? I said, I was just like that. I said, you know, I thought that science had all the answers. I thought evolution could coexist with creation. I thought there was some workings that could work together. I said, and that preacher had his Bible and I had all my science books laid out. And we went around and around and around past midnight. And guess what? His Bible was still true, and my science was still faulty. And at the end of the night, I had to say, man, I didn't get anywhere. I had a circle. I was going around and around and around and around and around. And guess what? I told that guy, I was just like you. I was just like you. I said, but the Word of God had to convince me and convict me. And guess what? It did just that. So Paul here identifies with them and lets them know. Notice what he says in verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He lets them know, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So Paul lets them know, before I got saved, I was religious just like you. I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you're going through. By the way, if you know that they have a particular sin that you had a struggle with, hone in on that. If I talk to a person that's a drunkard, I will hone in on that. I say, man, I used to drink every single day of my life. I used to black out. I used to pass out. I injured myself. I ran into a house. I almost killed myself. And I let them know, I know what it's like to pass out. I know what it feels like to injure yourself. I know what it feels like to drink every day. I talked to drug people. I said, you know, I know what it's like to be out of your mind. I went outside almost naked one night, out of my mind with drugs. I know what it feels like to be in jail. I know what it feels like to be locked up. I know what it feels like to be handcuffed. And I talked to them. I said, I've been there. I've been there. So I know what it's like. And they're like, but you're a preacher. I said, that's nothing but the grace of God. I said, that's because Jesus Christ saved my soul and changed my life. And so I get down on their level and I identify with them if I can. Now, sometimes I can't. Sometimes they do some stuff that I'm like, man, you're on your own with that one. But what I can identify with, I do. And so you try to identify with them in any way you can. And Paul lets them know, hey, you know what? I'm no holier than you. I'm just a sinner just like you. But then I had an encounter with the Savior. He identifies with the Savior. Notice down in verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was coming nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, you know what? I was just like you on my way before getting saved to do business like I always did it, just like you. But guess what? Then I met Jesus on the road. He lets him know, you know what? Before my conversion, I was this way. But then I met somebody who convicted my soul. I met Jesus Christ who began to work in my life. And I tell folks all the time, God's been working on me for a long time. And God had my number for a long time. I just tried to make sure I stayed two steps in front of him. But then one day, February 3rd, 1991, God caught up with me. And I was face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When that word of God was preached, I said, my soul, I'm going to go to hell today. I'm going to go to hell today. What happened? I was convicted. He heard, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. At that point, Paul recognized that the Jesus whom he called himself persecuting was Jehovah God of the Old Testament, the one he called himself zealously trying to serve. He said, you know what? Man, I messed up. And so he got convicted beforehand. And down there in verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. He lets them know that there were some other folks around me as well, and they didn't experience exactly what I experienced, but they understood something is going on. Verse 10, I said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed of thee to do. So Paul identified with the sinner. He lets him know, I used to be just like you before I got saved. Then he lets him know that I identified with the Savior, and I understood that I was persecuting the very one that I thought that I was serving. And that's Jesus Christ. And so he got convicted and he got converted of his sin. And he made sure that people understood that. There's another way that Paul witnessed as well, not just with his testimony, with the sinners and with Savior, with scriptures. Go over to Acts 24 and verse 14. If you happen to go to a religious person that happens to know a little bit about their Bible, you can take this route. Acts chapter 24, and he's before Felix here. Notice verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. What did he do just then? He said, I'm using scripture. I used to do all the things according to the laws and the prophets, but I didn't really understand it fully. And he says, but I believe that now. And I'm confessing that I believe that. And that which you call heresy is the way I'm worshiping Jehovah God, because that's the way Jehovah God wants to be worshiped. And so he goes back to scripture and he says, which are written in the law and in the prophets. Notice this. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. The religious crowd knew there was supposed to be a resurrection. Of course, the Pharisees believe it. The Sadducees didn't. And so he uses the word of God here and draws their attention to what the scriptures say. And he does it again down in verse number 25. Notice verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. How are you going to reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment without the Bible? Can't do it. But he used the Bible. So he identified with sinners. He identified with the Savior. Then he identified with scriptures. Use the Bible. It is there to be utilized. But you got to know it to use it. Amen. Show you one more passage here before we give you some work to do here. Go down to Acts chapter, let's see here, let's get to 20, let's do 26, 27. Acts 26 and verse 27. And he's before Agrippa here, and as Paul witnessed to him, and he said this, notice verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which who? The prophets and who? Moses did say should come, that what? Christ should suffer, and that he should what? Be first, that should rise from the dead, and to show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And notice verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the who? The prophets. I know that thou believest. What is he doing? He's using the word of God. He says, look, you know the Bible. I know the Bible, and you know what I'm saying is true. And what happened to Agrippa? Agrippa said, man, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost saved, but lost. Amen. So what am I saying here? As we talk to people, what can we say? We can witness by our testimony. We can tell them what happened to us, to identify with the sinner, identify with the Savior, making sure we let them know how we were convicted. But then use the scriptures and say, you know what? The Bible is still working. The Bible is still good. The Bible is still relevant. So we'll stop with that point there. Dealing with what we say, after we engage with someone, make sure you let them know that I understand what it's like to be a sinner. Amen. Now, you may not understand all the degrees. I was with Sam last week. Sam got saved when you were four, five? Four or five. Talk about two diametrically opposed lives. Sam and I sat down to discuss our testimonies, and Sam said, well, I don't know about all this jail business and all this booze and alcohol and all this drug stuff that you got into, but I was just as lost as you were. And so he didn't see what I saw. I didn't see what he saw. I said, would to God, I could have been raised up in an environment like that. Well, I didn't have to see all that, man. The stars, the scars that I have now. And so we had two totally different lives. And so he can witness and say, you know what? By the grace of God, I didn't experience jail. By the grace of God, I didn't experience drugs. By the grace of God, I didn't experience alcohol. By the grace of God, I didn't experience pornography. By the grace of God, because God saved me as a young boy at four, I didn't see a lot of foolishness that a lot of people saw. Amen. And so two totally different lives that God has changed. Amen. Sam, if you could turn on. Let Fred hand out that one handout we got there. What I want to do now is get you to the point where you can have some comfort and some confidence first getting into your scriptures, because the main conversation that you want to have has got to really be around the Word of God. You don't want to give them too much of your testimony. You want to give them just enough to get your foot in the door to identify with them. But you want to let them know about the Savior who can save them. And the Romans Road is going to do that for you. I've got a little sheet here and I'm giving you a little snippet of a comic strip. And it's going to show you how to mark your Bibles. And we'll give you just a few minutes to kind of get a handle on it. And we'll try to mark those a little bit tonight, get you started. But we're not going to do all of it tonight. How many have gotten the New Testament that we gives out before, the Soul Winners New Testament? Here, you've gotten one of those before? Raise your hand. Okay, we normally give those out every year and we do the training. Amen. How many have never gotten one of the Soul Winners New Testaments? Never gotten one. Okay. Can we make sure we get those in the hands of those that don't have one? Okay. So what's going around now is a little handout. It's a little comic strip from Chick Tracks. And I just gave you one page, or actually I gave you four pages. And we're going to be concentrating on the bottom of page 55 in your lower right-hand corner. Everybody got that? All right. So in this handout here, what you have there is this guy here on the left-hand side here saying, hey, everybody, I'm saved. Are you? And they say no. And he wants a plan to help get through the Bible. And we call that the Romans Road. Now, we gave that out last week on the back of that handout that had the little strip there. So if you still have that, that'll be handy for you tonight. If you don't, we can get you another copy. So I want you to go along with me. Notice what it says. Everybody see the guy with the big black Bible there? With the hat there. He said, this is a bad approach. Hi. Oh, no, he's got a Bible. Amen. When they see it, they get scared. Normally they will. They're going to either equate you with a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a fanatic, one of the three. Amen. And we don't want to be regarded as one of those, but we don't want to be ashamed of our Bible either. But we don't want to scare them off when we get a chance to share the gospel with them. Notice what it says. You must first prepare your little New Testament with guide notes for your own benefit. Take a colored pen or pencil and turn to the book of Romans. Now, before you do that, don't do that just yet. Okay, if you've got one of the New Testaments, you can mark them tonight. You don't have to. If you didn't bring your New Testament, that's fine. Use your regular Bible tonight. But take the notes so that you can mark your New Testament Bible. They have you starting with Romans Road. How many are familiar with the Romans Road? Takes you through Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, 10:13, and those verses. I would encourage you to memorize John 3:16 first. Say, preacher, why should I memorize John 3:16? What are the benefits to memorizing John 3:16 as a soul winner? As opposed to memorizing John 3:10 first.
Well, even unsaved people are familiar with that verse.
Most folks are familiar with John 3:16 that have any Bible clue at all. And so you want to give them something familiar before you start walking them into Romans 3:23. What's another reason why you want to memorize John 3:16? Rose? It's got all the gospel in it. That's true. Charmaine? You really could. You really could. You could lead someone to the Lord from John 3:16. Yes, sir.
Share God's love before you start.
There we go. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they look like. I don't care where they came from. I don't care how many tattoos they got, how many earrings they got, how many nose rings they got, how many belly rings they got, how many toe rings they got. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't care if he's got a mohawk or a skyhawk. Amen. Everybody wants to be loved. And you will do yourself a great service if you start off with saying, you know what, I want to share with you some things about how you can know you go to heaven. But you know, first of all, I want to let you know about God's love. God loves you, and God wants you to be in heaven with him. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And the world means that's you. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's Jesus. And he gave him to be crucified on the cross, to be buried and risen again for you, because he didn't want you to perish, but he wants you to have everlasting life. And so you start off automatically with the love of God. And people are like, oh, God loves me. They're already thinking about their sin. They're already thinking about how wretched they are. They're already thinking about what they've done and where they've been and what they haven't done. And what and God thought about me? Wow. So the first verse that you want to really memorize is John 3:16. You may not even have to go to Romans 3:10. You can maybe just quote that off your head. You may not even have to go any further than that, because it in and of itself can help you give the gospel from John 3:16. Now, they've got to know why Jesus died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. Okay? The person has got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so they don't perish. Why would they perish? Sin. Now you've already got a working step into Romans 3:10. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can ask them a simple question. Would you rather perish or have everlasting life? Now, anybody's got a brain in their head is going to say, well, I don't want to perish. I want everlasting life. Say, well, let me show you how that can happen. First of all, you know, there's something preventing you from going to heaven. And that's when you can mark Romans 3:10. So if you've got John 3:16, you start at John 3:16 and you mark that verse first. And then the same way you see down there, it's got number one in the 3:23 there. You would do the same thing with John 3:16, except you would put John 3:16, you'd circle that, then put out there number two. And number two, you'd be going to Romans 3:10. And then number three, you'd be going to Romans 3:23. And you'd keep marking like that. Notice what it says. Your first verse is Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. For our purposes, it would be John 3:16. Now that you've marked it like we have above, you move to the next verse. The next verse is Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. So you would start off with John 3:16, then go 3:10, then go 3:23, and on and on. How many got the sheet that I gave out last week that's got the Romans wrote on it? You got those, pull those out. If you need one, raise your hand. Ushers can get you one. It's the step-by-step soul winning plan. It's got this on the back, and it's got the plan on the front that we talked about last week. How many need one? Raise your hand. Dana needs one right here. Anybody else need one? And the way you're going to mark your Bible is just by using this Romans road here. The only difference is you're going to have John 3:16 as your first verse. John 3:16 as your first verse. Okay, now, for some of you, I know you might not want to mark in your Bible, and some of you think, well, my Bible is precious, this, that, and the other, and it is, amen. But you there's got to be a way that you can mark this so that you can see where you're going, especially if you're a new soul winner. The last thing you want to do is fumble to find your place. And so if your Bible is already marked, you can just go, and you can actually put the page number down too. Okay, Romans 3:10, then Romans 3:23, and then page this, and mark it that way. Everybody follow me okay with this, the sheet? Okay. They give you a list of verses here on the back, and they use Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:12, 5:8, 6:23, 10:13, Revelation 3:20, Romans 10, 9, and 10. We're not going to use those, but we will use the ones that are on your sheet. Okay? By the way, tonight we're going to mark the Bible here and show you how to mark it so that you can take this home and mark it and get a little practice getting back and forth in your Bible and getting a little bit of practice and saying what these verses mean. Next week, we're going to give you some practice on answering objections biblically. Answering objections biblically. When people start saying, well, it's not the right time. And then you've got a verse that says, now is the accepted time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So now you can handle the objections when they come and let them know the urgency of getting saved. Okay? Everybody follow me so far with the marking of the Bible. Okay? Everybody got a Romans road. Everybody's got a New Testament that needs one, okay? The rest of us that got them last year and the year before, just use the one that you have already. But if you didn't have one, you can take this and you can mark this. Now what we're going to do is we're going to actually break down into some groups here and mark this. Brother, yes, bring up that one on the Romans road. It's hiding out on me. Okay. And can we get this front light off? Okay. Notice, as you go through this tonight, what you're going to do is go to John 3:16 first, explain to the person about John 3:16, how God loves them. And he gave his only begotten son. He had to give his son for man's sin. Then you go right over here to Romans 3:23. And on your sheet, you're going to have Romans 3:10 as well. 3:10 just says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're just going to read this. Everyone's a sinner. There are no exceptions. By the way, if you can't get folks from this point, stop. If they don't believe they're a sinner, they can't get saved. It's as simple as that. If I can't get them lost, I can't get them saved. So if they don't believe they're a sinner and Jesus died for sin, they don't see their need for Jesus Christ. So you start praying for them from that point. And that's about the only thing you can do. Yes, Jeremiah?
Did you try to convince them?
Would I convince them? I would do everything in my power, scripturally speaking. Yes, you can give them the Ten Commandments. Let them know, hey, God says, not have any gods before them. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Ask them, have they told a lie? Yes. Have they disobeyed your parents? There you go with honoring their father and mother. You've already broken the commandments, so you are already a sinner. But they have to acknowledge that. You can't make them acknowledge that. So once they are at point number one, Romans 3:10 and 3:23, then you come down to 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death means separation from God forever. Eternal life comes by trusting Jesus Christ. At that point, you can let them know that separation is going to be punishment in a place called hell. Okay, hell is going to be cast in the lake of fire. You don't have to give them all that at that point, but just let them know that. We'll get to the next one. Three, but God commended his love toward us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. That's the beauty of using John 3:16, because now they're getting another dose of God's love. God loved us sinners so much that he gave his son to die for us. And then you couple John 3:16 in with that again. Even though people were sinners, God still loved them, and he wants to save them. Then four, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9, you can take them there. I take folks normally to Romans 10:8, 9, and 10 as well. Next one, brother. To be born again, you must believe that Jesus died for your, what? Sins. They have to make sure they understand Jesus died not just for the world, but for them. They've got to personalize that. A lot of people say, well, yeah, I know he died for the world. No, we're not talking about the world now. We're talking about you. Do you believe he died for you? Do you believe he was buried for you? Do you believe he rose for you? And let them know that. And they declare that they accept him as Lord of your life. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's promise to you that if you accept Jesus as Lord, he will accept you. Next slide. Call upon the Lord now as you pray this prayer. Here's a sample prayer that you can give them. Again, we said there's three things you can do. You can tell them they can pray their own prayer. You can help them with a prayer. They can repeat after you, or they can read this prayer. It simply just says, I know I've sinned by breaking your laws and ask your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I want to be born again, receive new life in him. I'll follow Jesus as my Lord and obey him in all that I do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The prayer does not save someone. It's the position of their heart. Somebody can pray this prayer and they could still be lost. Y'all with me? So the praying of the prayer doesn't save them. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with mouth confession made unto salvation. So it's not about this prayer so much as it's the position of my heart believing this prayer and believing that Christ died for my sins and believing that Christ was buried and believing that he rose again for me. Believing that is what saves a person. Okay? Because you can have somebody that's deaf and they can't say that. Are they not saved because they can't say it? There you go. Okay. That's the slide here. Next slide, brother. I think that's the last one. Okay, we're not going to talk about that now. So now what we're going to do here is break down, give you probably about 8 minutes, 4 minutes a piece with someone just to walk them down through the Romans Road. Don't try to be fancy. Just try to read what's here on the sheet. Put it in your own words as best you can, and then we'll meet back together here in just a few minutes. And again, next week we're going to talk about more of the objections. Again, the one thing that you want to do is get the practice and being able to turn to these scriptures quickly enough to read them intelligently and then to explain to them what they mean. Okay, anybody got any questions on that? Okay, I'm going to try and get the ladies break down with ladies, guys break down with guys. Let's try and make it real quick and nothing fancy. Just go ahead and go over this and that'll be a blessing. All right, let's go ahead and get with another partner. Amen. So grab your partner and you guys swap 4 minutes for one, 4 minutes for the other one. And we'll get back together here in about 10 minutes. guys, gals with gals. Everybody got somebody? Steve, you got Serge?
No, got somebody? Together?
Everybody got somebody? All right, I'll be walking around to see how we're doing. Nothing lengthy. Just try to go right down the Romans Road. Just read it to them and get some practice in going through your Bible. About three more minutes. Okay, there we go. Okay, just wanted to get you back into touch with using the Romans Road, getting familiarized with it, talking to somebody about it, feeling more comfortable with utilizing the Scriptures, because the more you talk about the Scriptures, the more God's going to give you that comfort level with using His Word, and the Spirit of God will begin to give you the words that you need to say for that particular person that you're talking to, because everybody's different, and everybody's in a different point in their life. The Holy Spirit knows where they're at. We don't know, and that's why we use the Word of God, and we become more familiarized with it, different scenarios, different passages that may be able to tie into it that we can quote off the top of our head to help those people out. Next week, we'll give you a little bit more time to work on that. And then we'll show you how to work this assurance thing. Because once a person makes a profession, you want to make sure that you give them assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:13. Let them know if they sin again, this is what they need to do. Again, you don't want to just leave them as a saved person without letting them know. The Bible says they can know that they're saved by the Word of God. Faith is still faith. But God says they can know it, and so they can believe God by faith. Then if they sin, let them know about 1 John 1:9. They don't lose their salvation, but they lose fellowship with God when they do. And so we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But hopefully that kind of got you back in the mood of sharing the Romans Road with someone, kind of familiarized you with the last person you led to the Lord. Take the Romans Road home, mark your Bible, mark your New Testament, be able to go to John 3:16 and then go to to Romans 3:10 and 3:23, 6:23 on down. Any other scripture references that the Holy Spirit gives you to go in with that would be just icing on the cake. Again, we didn't have to really go into a lot of introduction and things like that because we weren't doing that tonight. But on the door knocking, you would knock on the door and you would introduce yourself. You'd introduce whoever you're with, introduce your church, where you're coming from, and what your intent is. And what we're trying to do is ask them, hey, do you go to church anywhere? They say, yes. So what church do you go to? Well, I go to Long Silver Baptist Church. Amen. Well, praise God you go to Long Silver Baptist Church. But let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, are you sure you go to heaven or do you have some doubts about that? Then you wait for their answer. Depending on what their answer is, they say, well, I'm not sure. You say, you know, can I take a few minutes to show you what the Bible has to say about making sure that heaven is your home? Sometimes they'll say yes. Sometimes they'll say no. Me and Fred got real close on several occasions. Then they're like, well, no. Then the one guy said, sure. I thought, praise God. Get to running here. Amen. So you never know who's going to say yes. If they say no, be cordial. Well, you know, if you ever get a chance, come out to Shining Light Baptist Church. Here's a gospel track here. It tells you how to be born again, how to get to heaven. You know, please read that when you get an opportunity. Thank them for their time. And then you leave. You go to the next house. You detail what happened. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Any quick questions on just getting into reading the Romans Road? Just reading of it. Not talking about any technical things, just getting into it. Yes, Serge? Yes.
And so you're saying that if they pray a prayer to get saved and everything, you give them assurance of salvation right there and then?
Right there and then. Let them know, hey, look, what did God just say he gave you? Eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. Okay, let me give you a verse where God says you can know that he gave you this. And then you go to 1 John 5:13, let them read that and say, now, what did God say he promised to give you? Eternal life. What did he say? I can know. Okay. So you take God at his word. Don't take me at my word because I'm going to leave. But I want to leave you with the Bible and God's promise that God said he saved you. Don't, we can't save them, and we're not going to tell them we saved them. We're going to say this is what God says. It's up to them to believe it. But you want to give them this assurance to let them know if they did mean business with God, God said he'd save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. That's God's promise, not ours. And so we want to point them right back to Scripture, point them right back to 1 John. I like 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13 because all three really go together very, very succinctly. And so, yes, we want to give them that right away if we have the opportunity. Definitely want to do that. Just to give them the concrete assurance that it is not your word, it is God's word. And if they sincerely prayed, if they sincerely meant business with God, that's God's business. Amen. Any other questions? Okay, we'll do some more of this next week. Again, we'll break you up and let you get with someone. But please, in the meantime, mark your Bible and use that Romans Road starting at John 3:16 and Romans 3:10. And then we'll talk a little bit more about this next week and talk about witnessing by our talking, or in other words, how we say certain things. And we'll look at some verses here in Scripture. Amen. All right. You've got your tools. You've got your New Testament. You've got some paperwork here. We're going to give you a ton of things next week on how to answer objections, because people will have objections. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. And there's an answer for everything, even if it's Deuteronomy 29:29. Amen. But at the end of the day, you cannot force someone to believe anything. They're going to believe it or they're not. Simple as that. Amen. All right, we're going to have a quick word of prayer. Ladies are going to be meeting up here with Mrs. Dawson. Men, grab a partner, and you go ahead and start praying as well while the ladies are meeting up here, and they're going to pray up here as well. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to, Lord, to just briefly look at how we can use the Bible, the Romans Road, to show people their lost condition. Lord, thank you for John 3:16. It's